connect, everybody. You ready? Open up your Bibles, please. Let's get into the Word a bit. It's probably another two or three parter, but been a little, lately when we look at the world, you kind of wonder what in the world is going on. A couple weeks ago, Janice and I went to a conference and rented a car from a real low-budget place. And when I got home, I checked the receipt, the bill, and there was an $18.06 charge on it. I was like, where the heck did this charge come from? I filled the car up with gas. I returned it before it was supposed to be returned. So I picked up the phone. I called the 1-800 number. And, you know, when you get customer service, they don't have no clue what you're talking about half the time. And after a little bit of time on the phone, I says, can I talk to your boss? You know, because they're just following the script. And finally, after another one, I was like, who's in charge over there? Who's running the show at this budget rental place? You know, and finally, they realized I was right, and they refunded me the $18. But the point is, you know, a lot of times, you know, you don't get your Amazon delivery, right? You don't get the product that you ordered. You know, right? Yeah, I'm sorry to hear that. That happens to you a lot? Yeah, okay, we'll pray for you later. You know, it's just one thing after another, and then you kind of, you know, you look at the news for 5 minutes, and everything is kind of breaking, just like all hell is breaking loose, hurricanes here, things there, everything going on, and you're like, my gosh, you know, who's in charge? What's going on? So it really spoke to me because I hear a lot of stuff, and I hear God being blamed for a lot of stuff. And it kind of bothers me, you know, because God shouldn't be blamed for things. And so I thought to myself, let me put a sermon together, a little teaching together, of how do we recognize the source of our problem, and then what do we do to get out of it? Because the truth is, He's given us complete victory. And the victory is in Christ's resurrection. And because He lives, so do we. You know, because He was raised, so are we. If we truly are seated in heavenly places in Christ, then there's something we must be missing. Because a lot of times we suffer things needlessly, I think. So we need to really understand what the source is of our issues so we can get things resolved. Amen. Because we've been blessed. Ephesians 1 says, verse 3, we've been blessed with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ. Amen. All right. So 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Let's start there. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. We're going to start there. Oh, it's good to see animated today. She walks in and kisses Ricky Roy. She's not hearing me. Your sister made it to church. Yay! You get embarrassed when you walk into church for the first time in like 2 months. So no, no, I've been here, I promise. I've been sitting in the back somewhere. I don't know, your brother told me to pray for you earlier. He says, I don't know what's wrong, she doesn't come to church. All right. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 4. Everybody there? Take a look at a couple of things, all right? You know, because we need to explain some things. So I don't think the Christian world is explaining things properly. And I don't like bad doctrine. I like truth. You know, I don't care if it ruffles my theological feathers. If it doesn't go with what I believe, I want to know what the truth says. So here in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 4, it says, whose minds the God of this age has blinded, who do not believe lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. I also have it in the New Living Translation. It says, Satan, who is the God of this world, has blinded the minds of those who don't believe. So it's interesting that in that scripture, Paul tells us very clearly who is in charge of this world right now. And notice he uses a word called the God of this age, right? Because the Greek literally says age. It doesn't say world. The New Living Translation uses the God of this world. So let me explain this age. The word age is a time period. It's a time. It's a place. It's an event or within boundaries. Okay? So for instance, the moment you walked into that door and it's 10:59, you are now in my world. This is my world. You understand? I'm the God of this world right now. It's a joke, of course, right? But you understand, you now have to listen to me, or you can walk out, but you're listening to me, so at this moment in time, you're in my world. Welcome to my world. How many of you have ever been with somebody and, you know, you hang out with them at their house, and they're pulling their hair out, their kids are screaming, and all this, and then your friend looks at you and goes, "Are you all right?" And the lady goes, "Welcome to my world." You know, like, I didn't know things were that bad in your house. So you understand when I say welcome to my world, what world is, right? So it's your life. It's what's going on right at this moment. So the scripture says that Satan is the god of this moment, this age, or this time period. So when we say time period, there are boundaries in it. Right? And listen, whenever I let you guys go, whatever it is, you know, I'll try to be short. At 11:30, let's say, you're out of my world. You leave the building, you're not in the church world anymore. So at some point in time, he became the god of this world, and at some point in time, he will no longer be the god of this world. But right now, where we are in time and space, right now, he is the god of this world. Now, we know the earth belongs to the Lord, right? And the fullness thereof. The universe belongs to him. But at this moment, in the last 6,000 years, you can say, ever since Adam fell, when Adam sinned, he basically gave Satan the right to run this world. Yes, brother. It's easy now, it's a little easier to explain the source of why everything is so evil in this world, right? Why is there sickness? Why does a baby have to die of leukemia? Why does a mom have to raise her kid by herself because her husband dies early in his 30s for no apparent reason? Why are there accidents? And why are there hurricanes, tornadoes, floods? Why do these things happen in this world? Well, the source has to be Satan. And when you recognize the source, things are a little easier to understand, and you can learn how to get out and have victory no matter what struggle you're in. I'll say it again, your struggle should never define you. People shouldn't look at you and say, "Oh, yeah, that person, let me tell you about them. Yeah, they're always struggling, they're always in debt, they're always this, they're..." That's horrible when people label you that. You know, when somebody looks at you, they should label you, "There's a born-again, Bible-believing, tongue-toting, you know, Bible-toting, tongue-talking, devil-stomping, K-love-listening Christian." Or joyful Christian, victorious Christian. There's a role model that I want to follow. That's who you should be identifying. That's how everybody should identify you as. You know, when they need something, "Oh, I'm going to Brother Genrola Tubi over there because he's got victory. He's never down. He's never complaining. He's never..." When I need prayer, I'm going to Genrola. You understand what I mean? That's who people should identify you as. And so we've got to move past this understanding that, you know, God, it's an act of God, or God did this. God doesn't do sickness. God doesn't do floods. God doesn't do, he did in Noah's time, one time. God doesn't do hurricanes. He doesn't do earthquakes. There's a God in this world that does. Everybody good so far? All right, so let's go to Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. Hey, I scratch my head sometimes too. Say, how did that happen? That's horrible. Where was God? Have you ever said that? Where was God in all this? You know, God allows these things, but we don't have to understand that God didn't make those things. God allows me to be fat. God allows me to overeat. Come on, honestly. God, you know, people say God is in control, right? Oh, well, praise God, God is in control. Well, if he's in control, he's doing a really bad job of it. I'm being truthful.
Yeah, you are.
If God is really in control, he's doing a horrible job.
Uh-huh.
And I would say you're fired. God doesn't stop me from overeating. There's things that God allows, but it's not his will. His will is for me to have a perfect body. That's why when we pray, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. In other words, I need to align my will with his will. Because my will in this world is according to the God of this world. And so I need to take myself out and recognize, no, I need to align myself with his will. And that means stop it. Put that steak down. You know, you don't need 28 ounces. You can have 10. Honestly, God lets me do this. But Pastor, you're a man of God. I am a man of God, I hope. I follow God. I'm here during the week on my knees praying for everybody. I'm here seeking God. Well, how does a man of God then allow himself to overeat? Because it's my will. He doesn't control me. I yield myself to him. Do you understand? It's my will lining up, and I fight. I may be out here, and I'm like, come on, get back into the will of God. I discipline myself daily. I fight my body. I fight my temptations. Why? To get in the will of God. Because he doesn't control me. You understand that God doesn't control you. He wants to, but you have free will. And he allowed Adam to sin and allowed the devil to become God of this world. Does that make sense? And so we need to understand that this is truth. If it wasn't, then he would have said it. Don't yield yourselves to this. Yield yourselves, you know, to the Holy Spirit. Don't yield yourselves to sin. He would never say, stop sinning, stop sinning, stop sinning, if he totally controls us. I have to renew my mind. I have to be transformed. I have to keep my eyes on my wife. Do you understand? This is gospel truth. And then we blame God. Oh, wow, that pastor fell. He's, you know, living with that. God allowed it. It's not God's will. God's not in control of that. Ephesians 6. Amen. Everybody good? Verse 10 says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. There he goes again. He's telling us there's a devil out there. And he said, you better be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Why? Because he's got some schemes. Anybody remember Wile E. Coyote? Right? With the Roadrunner? Beep, beep. Right? He always had Acme Birdseed try to get the Roadrunner. He was Wile E. Coyote because Wile, he represented the devil. Wiles means schemes, dirty schemes. So he goes, put on the whole armor that you may be able to stand against the dirty schemes of the devil. Says, for we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual wickedness in the heavenly places. So notice the source of a lot of our issues is not God. It's not God's fault. It's not a hurricane, is not an act of God according to the insurance companies. Back in June, right, it rained so much, my pump stopped working, my basement got flooded. So you're probably saying, well, doesn't God love you? Why didn't he stop it? It was my pump's fault. It just happens. It was an accident. The pump got stuck, my basement got flooded. What are you going to do? Are we going to sit there and analyze? Say, well, why did God do that? Let's see. You must have sin in your life. Yeah, Lord, have mercy. We condemn everybody. Well, that, I know a church that got burnt down. And people are like, well, God must not want that church to be built. There's something wrong with that church. Hey, God's not into tearing churches down. He's into building churches. Come on. He said, I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. There's so many times we analyze things, and if it doesn't work out, we're like, well, I guess God doesn't want me to do it. Just because you're having problems doesn't mean God's not in it. He wants to see you push through, break a barrier, go forward, be victorious, overcome. You know, just like the walls of Jericho. They could have said, well, I guess God doesn't want to go through this because it's impossible. And God said, no, let me teach you how to get over this. Praise me. Lift my name up. Declare who I am. And I'll give you that city. There are certain things you need to stop saying, well, I guess God doesn't want me to have it because otherwise I'd have it. No. So notice he says here, therefore take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, having all to stand, do what? Stand. We need to learn how to stand. If we believe something, we stand for it. We don't back down. We don't give in. No matter how much the pressure comes our way, we stand. Brother, there's a song there. I stand in his name like a champ. I don't know. I can't rhyme. Huh? Keep preaching. There was a guy, no joke, this is honest truth. There was a guy about 30 years ago, I went to preach at a church, and the guy came up, I asked if anybody wanted a prayer for, you know, for healing, and this guy came up, first guy up, ran up, he said, Pastor, pray for me. I wasn't a pastor then. He said, please pray for me. I said, sure, we pray in Jesus' name, be healed. You know, I spoke to him before, I said, you know, it's God's will to heal you. And I says, and God wants you well. And so I prayed for him. He got so mad at me for saying that, that he went to the pastor and the elders of the church, and they called me into a special meeting that night. And he blasted me in the meeting. He said, how dare you say it's God's will for me to be healed, that it wasn't God's will for me to be sick. I said, what do you mean? He goes, God put sickness on me to teach me something. He says, God's put sickness on us to teach us something. I said, my brother. I said, well, you need to pray that you get sicker because you obviously haven't learned a thing. I says, and you made me go against God? If God made you sick to teach you something, then you're making me go against him. I said, don't you know the Bible says that a house divided against itself cannot stand? And he just sat there like, oh, humana, 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 humana. John 10:10 says the thief comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. And then Jesus fills in the rest of that sentence. He says, but I have come that you may have life and have that life more abundantly. Jesus is nothing but life, resurrection life. Jesus is nothing but goodness towards us, love towards us, not hatred, not sickness, not disease, not problems. He says you'll have trouble in this world. He says, but cheer up because I've overcome the world. And here's your victory, your faith in me. Our focus is in him. Our faith is in him. Amen. Jesus said this in John 14. He said, the works that I do, he says, it's the Father that does them through me. He said, the Father is working in me. Do you remember when he was on the boat in Mark chapter 4, right? They were complaining. There was a tempest. There was a storm. And they said, Jesus, wake up. You know, why? How could you sleep through this? And what did he do? He got up and says, peace be still. Well, who did that work? the Father did, right? Jesus said, my Father works in me. He does the work. So if God the Father did the storm and God the Father stopped the storm, we got a problem. It doesn't make sense. How does God create a storm and stop the storm? He's fighting against himself. I don't want to serve a God that plays games like that. I want to serve a God that's truthful, that's solid as a rock, that when he says something, I stand and I believe it, and it comes to pass. That's our God. He's a rock. He's solid. He can't be moved. He doesn't change his mind. He never lies to us. God is not the source of our problem. Satan is. God is the source of our help. God is the source of our victory. And when we keep our eyes focused on him, we'll come through every single problem on top. Amen. Real quick, go to Luke chapter 4. What time is it? Do I got a little bit of time? You guys good? Go to Luke chapter 4. Thank you. Say it again, Mon. Yes, brother. Luke chapter 4. Yes, man. Everything be Irie. Yes, brother. My brother. Hallelujah. Luke chapter 4. This is what we call the temptation of Christ, right? We know Jesus was tempted by the devil. Let's take a look at this verse and let's rip it apart a little bit. Verse 5. Everybody there? Luke 4, verse 5. You there? Yeah? Okay, good. It says, then the devil, taking him up on a high mountain, showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. So Satan was able to do this because he is the God of this world. And he owns all the kingdoms of the world, the kingdoms. He says this, and then the devil said to him, all this authority I will give you and their glory. In other words, he says, I will make you the God of this world. I can give you that. Well, you can't give something you don't have. He says, I'll give you that. And notice what he says. Watch this. He says, and all this authority I will give you and their glory, for this has been delivered to me. What is he saying? I got it. It was actually handed over to me. When? When Adam sinned. When Satan got Eve to sin and then she got Adam to sin, Adam handed everything. He delivered it over to Satan. He says, it's mine now, Jesus, because it was delivered to me. And we know that she was deceived. Adam just gave it. What? Watch. He says this, and I give it to whomever I wish. How many of you have ever heard of somebody selling their soul to the devil? Hollywood is full of them. DC is full of them. They sold, all of a sudden, instant fame. How do you get that? It's you sell your soul to the devil. I know somebody who sold their soul to the devil, became a pop music icon. And they said it. Yes, I sold my soul to the devil. And she used to sing in church. And she is blatant about it. I sold my soul to the devil. Why? Because I wanted all the glory. And he says it right here. I'll give it to whomever I wish. Now, some people can say this. That, well, Satan is a liar. And he couldn't give it to Jesus because he didn't own it. If that's the case, then this is not a real temptation. It had to be a real temptation for Jesus to become our Savior. If it wasn't a real temptation, then Jesus is not our Savior. Yes, brother. All I know is he overcame every sin, every temptation, and every weakness that man goes through, Jesus came through it without sin. Yeah. He never sinned. He was tempted in all points. So if either he's lying, then that scripture is lying. Then the whole Bible is a lie. I don't think so. I think Jesus was fully tempted because Satan was telling the truth for the first time in his life. And he said, it was delivered to me, and I give it to whoever I wish. Did you notice the next thing, which how Jesus responds? He says, therefore you will worship before me, and all be yours. Jesus answered and said, get behind me, Satan. It is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him, only him you shall serve. Jesus didn't argue with him. He didn't say, yeah, all right, Satan, you know, no, you're lying, you can't give it to me. And Jesus didn't even respond to it because he knew he was telling the truth. And what he said is this, he says, I worship God. My focus is on him. Jesus never responded to that statement to call him a liar. Other places he did, not here. This is a real temptation because Satan was telling the truth. Now, so if we know that God, he is the God of this world, Jesus came, John 14. Now let me kind of put this together and I'll be done. I'll continue next week. Is this good? I don't want you to judge your situation and say, well, if this, you know, how many times you apply for a job and you can't get the job? Well, I guess God doesn't want me to get that job. No, if God spoke to your heart to get the job, you stand. You don't judge a situation because the door ain't open, and you stand firm in your faith. Years ago, go to John 14. Years ago, back in 2010, I ran for office. I ran for Board of Education. I know God told me to run. I saw myself sitting at the Board of Education as one of the members and here in Norwalk. I knew it. I saw it. I knew I was going to win. So me and three other people, we joined together. We ran. And, you know, they only pick four people. We ran for the Board of Education. I lost by 6 votes. I was number 5. I'm like, what the heck? I know what I heard. I know God told me that I was going to be on the Board of Education. The person who won didn't even want to be there. She was a fill-in. I'm like, this is not right. Satan, I know you stole this from me, but I know what God said to me. I'm going to be sitting in that chair one day. And that's what I said. I'm going to be sitting in that chair one day. Well, a year later, you served for 4 years. A year later, the lady says, I quit. I didn't really want to do this anyway. So guess who was next in line? They gave me the seat. I'm like, yeah, I know. When they called me up and said, hey, by the way, the lady is resigning, so, you know, you're next in line. You get the seat. I said, thank you, I know. Because I already knew I was supposed to be there. Then I ran for re-election, and I won again because I knew God told me to be there. My point is this. I didn't judge that I'd lost. I didn't judge whether it was God or not because Satan stole that from me. But I stood my ground, and I said, I will not give in. That's my seat, and I will be there. Amen. That loss did not become my identity. What God said to me became my identity. I continue to say, no, I'm on the Board of Education. I'll be there. Don't worry. Just wait a little bit. I'll be there. You watch. Because I know my God. He never lies. Amen. John, what did I say? John 14? All right, watch this. John 14, verse 10. It says, Do you not believe that I'm in the Father and the Father in me? The words that I speak to you, I do not speak on my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does the works. So let me say it this way. He says, the Father in me does the works. Why did Jesus come? He came to be a blessing. I know he came to save us, but I want you to think about this. When the storms arose on the boat and he was sleeping at the back, they thought they were going to die. So what did Jesus do? He stood up and he said this. He said, I'm going to do a mighty work. Peace be still. His action overrode the natural laws of this earth. In other words, a miracle will always be needed in order to bless somebody. And that miracle overrides the natural laws of the God of this world. When Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead, if you're dead 4 days, you're dead. But what did he do? No, God the Father interjected himself and he overrode the laws of death. And he said, Lazarus, come forth. Why? Because Jesus knew the source of that death was Satan, and he came to override Satan. In other words, in the next verse, verse 12, Jesus said, what I do, you can do also. Greater things can I do because I go unto my Father. You're alive today to override the God of this world. You're still alive, and your job is to go out there and override what he's done, to turn around depression, sickness, hatred. Start shedding some love. Why? Because love covers a multitude of sin. He's the God of sin, and we override sin. We override hatred. We override sickness and disease. How? He said, go and lay hands on the sick, and the sick shall be healed. You take a drink any deadly thing, it shall not harm you. That doesn't make sense. Why? Because God wants us to override the things of this world. Amen. Listen, I just gave you scriptures before about giving. One of the craziest things in the world that God says is don't save all you can. He says give all you can. That makes no spiritual sense, no natural sense. Why? Because it goes against the God of this world. Everybody in here, you've got a, you may, 401k, Social Security, retirement pension. You're looking to put money away and save and save and save, right? My uncle died at 63 years old. He retired 6 months, had all his money saved up, died, couldn't use it all. Why? Because that's the way the natural world works. But when you operate in the things of God, you sow all you can. You give all you can. You're extravagant in your giving. Why? Because God said, if you give, I'll give back to you, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. Shall men give unto your bosom? If you sow, you will reap a great harvest. He says, if you tithe, I'll open up the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing upon you which you cannot contain, and I'll rebuke the devourer on your behalf. What does that mean? What? That doesn't make natural sense, because it goes against the God of this world. It's time for us to step into the laws of nature and override them. You need to, when you see sickness and disease, you need to get a hatred for it. Because that's the devil working. He's the source of it. When you see stuff like this, when you see hatred, you need to hate it. You know what I mean? No, I don't. No, I'm not putting up with that. That's the God of this world operating. I don't hate my brother. I don't hate someone because they speak another language. They come from a different country. They look a little different. I don't do that because that's the God of this world baiting me. I operate on spiritual laws. That God says, love one another. He says this. He says, you owe them love. When you see someone sick and diseased, what do? Brother, let me pray for you. Let me lay hands on you. I believe God is going to intervene right now. He's going to come into your situation, override cancer, override this sickness and disease, and heal it once and for all. Why? Because I got a God that does great works. It's the Father that does the work. In me, I'm in Christ. It's Christ that does the work through us. Amen. It's time to turn the world upside down with real solid Christianity. Amen. Praise the Lord. I got to finish because Jen says she's got to leave early. Stand to your feet, please. Were you blessed? Did you learn something? You got to start looking at things a little differently. There's an explanation for the things that are evil in this world. But God's not called us to that. He's not called us to be involved in the schemes or get baited. He's called us to bind those things because we're the church. He's called us to loose those things because we're the church. He's called us to rise above those things because we're the church. We're sons and daughters of God. We're a royal priesthood. We're a holy nation. We turn things around. Hallelujah. Living in the overflow. What do you got, brother? Let's sing a song. Let's rejoice. Let's sing. Let's declare his victory and his goodness in our lives. He's alive. I'm focusing on Jesus, not anybody else.